Turundusraadio .
Hello, dear listeners, and welcome to our marketing radio talk show number 289. I'm Anu Mallarits from the Institute of Marketing in Estonia, and today I have a guest, Markus Jonsson, who is from Sweden. Hello, Markus.
Hi there.
And today we are going to talk about how to make business or how to do business in Sweden. There are a lot of Estonian companies who are successful in Swedish market, but there are many more of them who just don't get how to be successful, how to manage in the market. So, Markus, you as a business consultant, what do you think? What are the key success factors for any company, or especially Estonian companies, to be successful in Sweden?
Yeah, and it's a good question. It's a really good question, but it's not that easy to give just one answer.
You can give several. We have time.
Yeah. No, but there are some general issues that all companies, I suppose, have to think about when they want to grow internationally. I've been working in many countries, and Estonia is really in a good shape for doing good business abroad. But in general, I think you have to have a long-term approach. That's really important, I think, to realize that it will take some time. You know, it can be really rewarding, but it does take some time more time than on your domestic market in general. The other thing that I would like to point out is also sort of the financial part of it and the cash flow part and margins, etc. So that you focus on a product and in a way that you have a good margin. So you can sort of from the start, if possible, make a profit on the product. The other alternative is, of course, to sort of buy market share by lowering the price a lot, you know, to get access to the market. But it's always hard to raise the price again. So try to keep the price up and find a good margin for your products. If you do that, you are in a good shape, you know. And if you want me to mention something, I think you're going to ask me what's specific about Estonia then, maybe. And with Estonia, as I said, you are really in a good shape for this. You're well educated. You're seen as serious business people, etc. There is one thing. If I should put on one thing, is that focus on what you're really good at. I see quite a lot, not only from Estonian companies, but from companies in general. When they want to go abroad, they say, we can do pretty much anything. Everything. And that's not trustworthy, you know. You have to say, well, we're really good at this. We could probably do other stuff as well, but this is what we're really good at. This is what we want to work with. This is what we want to assist you with. This is how we really make a difference for you as a customer. Not everything, but this, you know.
But usually I know what Estonian companies say. The background is that our market is very small. It's difficult to survive if you just focus on a very, very small niche. And then they are afraid. And then coming from Estonia, everything seems so big. There are 10 million people in Sweden. Huge market, really, for us. And that's why it seems that, okay, we can do whatever and so on. So we don't even are accustomed to look at the niche ways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I think that's key to do in a way. And again, Estonia being a small country, I mean, Sweden is also a small country in comparison to a lot of other countries, of course, but Estonia is even smaller. But that means you soon have no domestic market left. You know, if you have to grow, you have to grow abroad. So this comes early. If you compare it to American companies, for example, they can grow a lot before they actually think about export. True. But when this question comes early, then once you have taken the first step and find your way of entering a new market, it's quite easy, at least in theory, to do it on many markets. So if it's niche, if it's really small, a niche product or market that you're aiming for within sort of the Swedish market, Well, then you have the Norwegian after this, and you have the Finnish and the Danish and the you know. So I the world is getting smaller when it comes to distribution and talking to each other and finding information and so forth. So I don't think you have to be afraid that it's too much of a niche. Rather, I think it's about finding the right customer wherever they are. You know, if you know your exact customer that you want to have, it doesn't matter so much if it's in Sweden or if it's in Germany, maybe. That's my take on it, at least. You know, there are exceptions to the rule, but the world is getting smaller, and digitally you can do so much now as well. So it's use the possibilities there are to expand and expand maybe quickly, but with the right offer and to wider geographical area.
Absolutely. Can you tell me, in a nutshell, what are the key cultural differences in business customs between Estonia and Sweden? You have experience working for both or working with both.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If I talk about we start with Sweden then and okay. See how Swedes are sort of perceived, I think at least are perceived. Some things you need to understand when you work with Sweden is that the consensus thinking is really strong in Sweden. This means that you would often hear that foreign companies that want to enter Sweden, they feel it's hard to get a decision or find a decision maker because everybody has to be involved in the decision, you know, which is true. You know, we tend to involve a lot of people in the decision making. Everybody has to be on board, so to speak. So that's one thing to think about when you do business in Sweden, that involve a lot of decision makers, you know, and don't think that if you have many people in the room, for example, treat everybody as important because they are in decision making in the end, you know. The other thing that I was thinking about was we don't really like conflicts, so we try to avoid conflicts. You know, we're a bit conflict afraid, and that could be. I don't think you should use it to your advantage, but you should be aware of it and not. It's like the Japanese, you know. We don't like to lose the face, you know, in front of people. So. Try not to create conflicts, but be aware of it. Another thing that's also, I think it's important with Sweden or especially Sweden, is that we are early to adopt new technologies, new ways of doing and new ways of thinking. So innovative in this way. We're open to look at new solutions. And if you say, I have a better solution to your problem, it's a bit innovative, but it's better, then that's a positive thing here. That's a good thing. If you go to Germany and say the same thing, it could be that they are saying, well, we have always done it this way. Show me the proof, you know, that it actually works, you know, in 10 different ways, you know, and you're sold to Siemens, you know, then I'll buy. But in Sweden, it's... it's often used as a test market for new products as well, so that's good. And when it comes to negotiating, etc., I think we're considered to be quite fair. I mean, we understand the other point's view, understand that the counterpart also has to make some money out of this, you know. So fairly good at finding the good. So make it a good business for both parties, more or less. When it comes to Estonia, as I say, you tend to be, I think you are seen as, and you are serious in your way of doing business. You're serious and you are often well prepared, but maybe there is too much focus on, I don't know how to phrase it, but on the product and on the the production, if you like, you know, that you're, and it's good, you're proud of production and what you produce and the quality and all that, that's great, and you should be, but it's not maybe not the differentiating point, you know, when it comes to choosing a supplier, because everybody's got quality. If I exaggerate a little bit, everybody's got quality. So if everybody's is the same when it comes to quality, if it's from Estonia, Finland, or Lithuania, or Poland, or Germany, well, then you have to find your other USPs, your unique selling points that are the important part for you. And there, I think going from being a country that is seen as only a producer, I say only within brackets, but producer to somebody who's really assisting companies with their problems and needs, you know, on a deeper sense. I think some companies have had some way to go there in Estonia. And also, this would not saying that, well, we can solve everything. Yeah, of course, maybe you can solve everything, but when you work with Swiss, they want to hear, this is what I'm really good at, like I mentioned before. This is what we really want to do. This is what we understand. This is our thing here, to be more focused on this, maybe. But I'm not an expert on Estonians, but it's really easy to work with you. Everything always works fine when I'm in Estonia. So you're quite similar in many ways to Sweden. So don't exaggerate this point. It's be yourself. You're going to be fine.
Thank you. It was so interesting to listen. I think it's always good to have another view on how you are as a nation in business or in relationships. But I just wanted to add that in a context where you say that in Sweden we have to treat everyone equal, it's difficult to find the decision maker. On the other side, Estonians usually are, I would like to say, maybe more to the point, trying to get the decisions. Mm-hmm. Is this something where you sometimes feel that this might be, how to say, like we are pushing too much, we are pushing too far, we don't understand the game, we don't understand that it takes time? Might that be dangerous? Or you say that, yeah, okay, don't worry.
Yeah, well, yeah, you should be aware of this, of course. And one thing that I also hear, companies could be from Estonia, they say, well, we get some interest from the client. You know, the client is saying, in Sweden is saying, yeah, sounds interesting, this, you know, and let me think about it and I'll come back to you. And then as good salespeople, you come back to them 2 weeks later and say, well, I haven't heard about from you yet, so I thought I'd give you a ring or I email you and ask, so what do you think? Oh, well, we haven't really thought about this yet. And it just goes on and on like this. You know, you never get a proper decision. And that is maybe what I'm saying, this with the consensus. Maybe that's where you can use really this, say, well, who else is involved in the decision making of this? You know, have you talked to them? Who, you know, to dig a bit deeper there, because it can be stuck in this way. And it's also part of this, like the Japanese thing. We don't want to say, no, it's not interesting. Mm-hmm. And because that's almost rude. You know what I mean? A German guy wouldn't have a problem with normally but you know, so that could be one thing to have in mind as well. When it comes to sort of the company structure, it's more about being aware of it, I think, and try to adjust. We know fairly well that we are a bit extreme in this in Sweden. But of course, if you come here, you have to adjust to the Swedish way. It's that's the way you have to do everywhere.
Absolutely. Just coming back to the situation when it's difficult to get the decision, and I've heard Estonian companies complaining also about that we don't understand how to get the yes to our deal. How would a professional Swedish company approach these things, knowing, having this deep in the blood that it takes time to reach consensus? How should the Swedish company solve this situation?
Yeah, you know, the Swedish companies also have this problem. course. It's not only foreign companies that run into this problem. Also Swedish companies do. And I think it's important to, like I said before, to try to understand who is involved in the decision. And it's not rude to say to someone, who else except from you will be involved in the decision making of this? You know, that's fine, you know. And then you probably get the, well, we have to involve the production manager and the logistic manager, and also actually the one in the reception, she needs to know. But, you know, we have to involve everyone. Okay, next time when I come, maybe could I meet them as well? Yeah, sure. You know, we set up a meeting together, etc. You have to try to go around this, and also ask sort of an extra question when they say, "Well, it could be interesting," you know, or I'm not sure, etc. To really try to dig a bit deeper there and say, "Well, you say this might be interesting. What is it that it appeals to you?" Well, it's this and this and why, and how, and you know, dig a bit deeper so you really understand what's the deal, you know, what's important.
It's a very good advice, but knowing Estonian companies, what they always say to me when we come to this type of discussions, then they say that, oh, I don't dare to ask because I'm afraid that then they will put hang on the phone and not to talk to me anymore. How to do it in a way that companies really open up to discuss about these things?
I don't think you have to worry about that as long as you ask an open question.
Okay.
You know, there's a big difference between a closed and an open question, and the open question promotes the other one to talk, you know, show interest in the other one. So if for example it's if you get the answer, this is not interesting, the price is too high, for example, it's too high cost for us. Oh, really? So what would be a reasonable cost for this according to you? You could ask, you know, that's not rude. Well, you know, try to get around it when asking these questions and see, does it come in this color? You know, you get all this sort of buying signals. Then dig deeper before you start your hard selling. And this is like the normal sales really we're talking about now, but maybe it's even more important here that you dig deeper before you present your solution. People want to talk about their issues, you know. So if you have a solution that makes life easier for them, and you ask, is this an issue at your company, for example, if it's a B2B solution? Is this an issue at your company? Yes, it is. Great, because we have the best solution for this. This is how the solution is. You know, that's too early. So if they say, is this an issue at your company? Yes. Okay. Tell me more about this, please. You know, dig deeper. What is the, how does it work out, and how who is involved in this, and who, you know, get the full picture, and then you can say, well, are you interested in hearing about the possible solution to this issue that you have? Yes, I am. Okay, good, because I think actually we have something that could be good, and this is how it works. You know, people need to be able to express themselves and talk about their problems first and their issues. They don't want to be pushed. Nobody wants to be pushed with selling in the face like that. I don't know if that answered the questions, but
yes, it did. Yes, it did. Thank you. Thank you. What would be your advice to Estonian companies how to prepare before entering Swedish market? What kind of things should the companies, of course you told that they should have long-term approach and so on. What other things are important?
Understand it takes some time, of course. That's one thing, you know. And understand what is this with a product and or service that you have something that is that you think that you can actually make some money from, that you have a margin, you know. and that you have finances for it. So that's sort of the basis. And then third thing would be know what you're good at, and that's what you're going to promote. You know what you really are good at, and as long as you do that and understand who is your right target customer for this, it's going to be, I wouldn't say easy, but it's easier at least to talk to them about this instead of in general, you know, everybody needs my product. That's too vague. No, you have to narrow it down and then say, well, for you, that's especially for you, focus on this kind of customer. That's who I want to target. So focus is then high on that list as well, I would say. And be as long as you sort of know your own company and your own strengths and what you want to offer, then you can be quite early with going out as well. I don't think you have to be 100% prepared. It's good if you prepare, of course, but you have to be quite early with going out and start asking the customers, is this what you want? You know, and if you don't want this, what is it actually that you want? Can we tweak our offer a bit? Can we make it in a different way? What do you say? What do you suggest to us, Mr. or Mrs. Customer here? So you iterate. You know, you go quite early. Of course, you need to do some desk research and find out, etc. But don't be afraid of talking and say, well, this is us. This is what we think we're really good at. Is it interesting? You know, it's not that strange in a way. You know, people would appreciate it. People like to talk. Normally, like to talk about it. Is this good? You know, I want your feedback, Mr. Customer. Yeah, they like to give feedback. So don't be afraid to ask.
Very good. Can you bring an example of any successful company, Estonian company in Sweden, from whom the other Estonian companies could learn from? Who is doing well?
Yeah, well...
The most difficult question, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's also... No, there are many companies, of course. I'm just thinking, you know, who I can really mention, but there are many companies. I think what they have in common is that they have a long-term view of things. I think that's one common thing, and they have all focused on the need of the of the client, need of the you know, it's a big difference between need and product, and you have to be clear with this. You know, there are different ways of satisfying the need, and you can do it with different products and services, but you really have to understand the need, because the need is normally staying, that's the same, but then the customer has different ways of solving it, so you have to understand the need of the client, and these companies have, I think. And long term, so it means, you know, good quality product that works, etc. Maybe you, I don't know if you, if maybe you, I don't know, wants to mention some companies, because I sort of prefer not to.
Yeah. By the way, what comes to your mind, and I do understand to my mind, and I do understand the confusion, is that Estonians. We are not usually selling our own brands. So often in business to business, you don't see that this product or service is Estonian. Of course, you see a lot of Estonian companies still working in Swedish construction sites. You see probably not lots, but still some amount of products produced in Estonia sold in IKEA stores. Probably, and so on, but to try to understand what are the really known, I don't know, companies or trademarks, then probably the best known in Sweden is Tallink, because it's boats and they are an own brand. I, of course, don't know what's the perception of it, but this might really be that even when you go to Sweden and say, yeah, that we are a great company, we do these things, no one really has heard about the companies, because they are either in very small niches or are not working under their own brands.
Mm-hmm. No, that's probably true. And I suppose that's what you can expect also from such a small country as Estonia is, you know, with so few inhabitants. It's hard to for companies or people abroad to know that much about Estonia. People mix, you know, the Baltics, you know, it's from the Baltics somewhere, and it's that's hard to be branded. But I've been working on all Baltic countries quite a lot, you know, and of course you're more I don't know how to put it, more advanced, more like the Finnish working with Finland or something like that. Whereas some of your Baltic neighbors are maybe not that easy to work with for Swedish companies in a way. So you have a really good position now and for growing. There's one more thing, yeah, that I wanted to mention now. I was thinking about this when before, because in Estonia you are hard working people and you're good at producing and production, and you have fairly cheap labor compared to Sweden. And those are really good advantages, because what's happening in Sweden is that the labor is quite expensive. It's probably more expensive in Germany, for example, but it's still expensive. And I have a feeling that in general, the companies and the people are not that hungry, if I could use that word. I think you're more hungry. You want more. You want to sell more. You want to export. You want to be there, and you want to win. And there's a tendency, at least in Sweden, to say, well, we have filled our production capacity, and that's good enough now. And now I can take my vacation, etc. Maybe I'm exaggerating a little bit, but I think that's a big advantage that you have, that you still are very hungry and forward-looking and trying and wanting to grow and want to expand, and that is, of course, Sweden. The Swedish companies. The good thing for you then is that the Swedish companies are not that loyal to only other Swedish companies. Norwegians, for example, I think they are more nationalistic. They like their own. The good thing with Norway then is that they don't have much production there anyway. They don't have a lot of suppliers there anyway. They have the oil. But in Sweden, if you come with a better offer than a Swedish supplier, of course they are interested in buying from you. There's no loyalty like that. If they say, well, you deliver at least as good, maybe even better than the Swedish supplier at a better price, they will change. They will buy from you. So it's only about finding what is it actually that you're selling then, and how do you explain this in the best way?
Good. I have to ask that at the end of all, I just have to ask, how important is it to speak and understand Swedish when doing business in Sweden?
Not very, I would say. It's Sweden and also the Netherlands, Holland. It's you can do business in English. This type of business we're talking about now here. Of course, if you need to work with a lot of people on the plant floor, for example, maybe the English is not perfect, but it's still most of them actually speaks English. So English is the business language to be used, and that's fine. That's really fine. Then it's really a bonus if you speak Swedish. It makes it easier, of course, if you have a website in Swedish and you show, because it also shows that you're serious about the Swedish market. It seems like if you have the website in Swedish, oh, they are doing a lot of business in Sweden already. It's easier to buy from you then. So it's more about the perception. But everybody here knows, like you do in Estonia as well, knows that nobody abroad really speaks Estonian or, for that matter, Swedish. So we have to adjust. We have to speak English. But it's helpful to speak Swedish, of course.
Thank you, Markus. It's very encouraging for most of the companies. They know at least they have to skip Swedish lessons.
Yeah, I don't think it's that. It's good to have, but that's not where the main focus should be, I think. You can do business anyway.
Okay, very good. Thank you a lot. It was very interesting, and I think a lot of good, keys and angles for Estonian companies who feel that maybe they didn't open the Swedish market or they don't know how to proceed. So I think that, please, do not just listen to our shows, but do as suggested, and I think that sooner or later the success will follow.
Yeah. I agree with you, and it was great talking to you. Don't be afraid. I sometimes say, well, look at it as a game, you know, and play the game, you know, and try it out and play the game. But of course, you have to know what you're doing a little bit. But it's don't be afraid of this. It's go and get them. You have a good position, so just go for it.
Thank you a lot. Thank you a lot, Marcus, for being in our show. And dear listeners, please listen us again in a week's time. Meanwhile, please listen our broadcasts also in Delfi Tasku and also in SoundCloud or in our homepage. So thank you, and we'll be back in a week's time.
Sulle meeldis Turundusraadio. Teili endale meeldetuletus järgmiste saadete kohta Marketingi Instituudi kodulehelt.